Welcome to the Noracast Tech Briefing. I'm your host, and joining me today to break down the latest news is my co-host.
Hello, everyone. We have a packed episode today. We're starting with a fascinating look at the underlying financial mechanics of the AI boom, specifically how NVIDIA is effectively funding its own customers.
We'll also check in on Voyager 1. NASA just had to make a really tough call to keep the aging spacecraft alive as it drifts further into interstellar space.
And we're diving into the weeds of AI agent development. Claude code users are hitting some frustrating memory limits during long, multi-day coding sessions.
Plus, we've got a look at Terence Tao's AI coding experiments, a decentralized approach to running large language models, and a brand new JavaScript runtime built entirely from scratch.
A lot of ground to cover today. Let's get right into it.
Our first story looks at the complex financial engine driving the global build-out of AI infrastructure. We're talking about the rise of neoclouds, specifically companies like CoreWeave and Netius, and their deep financial ties to NVIDIA.
Right. NVIDIA has invested $2 billion into both CoreWeave and Netius. The goal for both of these neoclouds is massive. They are each targeting over 5 gigawatts of data center capacity by 2030. To put that in perspective, that is an incredible amount of power dedicated just to running GPUs.
But reaching that scale requires capital that these newer companies simply don't have natively. Unlike traditional hyperscalers like AWS or Google Cloud, neoclouds don't have fortress balance sheets. CoreWeave, for instance, is currently carrying $8 billion in debt.
And there is a significant client concentration risk there. According to recent reports, 62% of CoreWeave's revenue comes from just one customer, Microsoft. So you have a highly leveraged company relying on a single massive client to justify billions in infrastructure spending.
This brings us to what critics are calling a circular financing model. The way it works is that NVIDIA sells its highly sought-after GPUs to these neoclouds. But to ensure the neoclouds can afford them, NVIDIA takes an equity stake in the companies, and in some cases, provides demand guarantees or revenue share agreements to backstop their growth.
It essentially creates a self-reinforcing loop. NVIDIA is financing its own customers to inflate the demand for its own hardware. If you're a skeptic, this looks like a financial Ouroboros that creates hidden leverage in the market.
Proponents, however, view it entirely differently. They see this as a necessary strategic hedge. The major hyperscalers are increasingly prioritizing their own custom silicon to reduce their reliance on NVIDIA. By propping up CoreWeave and Netius, NVIDIA ensures there will always be a massive, dedicated buyer for its latest chips.
That makes sense strategically, but it raises a huge question about what happens if end-user demand for AI compute falters. If the organic demand doesn't materialize to fill these new data centers, these neoclouds could hit a wall before they reach profitability.
Exactly. And if they fail to service that $8 billion in debt, the ripple effects would be severe. There are scenarios where these companies might be forced to buy back unused GPU capacity, which would completely upend the economics of the current AI boom.
It's a high-stakes bet on sustained exponential growth. The infrastructure being built is very real, but the complex financial arrangements funding it are masking the true level of risk in the system. It's definitely a space we'll need to watch closely as that 2030 capacity target approaches.
Moving from cutting-edge AI infrastructure to one of humanity's oldest active space missions, on April 17th of this year, NASA engineers had to make a very difficult call regarding the Voyager 1 spacecraft.
They sent a command to shut down the low-energy charged particles instrument, known as LECP. This was strictly a power conservation move. When Voyager 1 launched back in 1977, it had a suite of 10 science instruments. Today, with the LECP powered down, only 2 remain operational.
The spacecraft is currently over 15 billion miles, or 25 billion kilometers, away from Earth. Out there, it relies on a radioisotope thermoelectric generator for power. But because the plutonium-238 fuel source is steadily decaying, the generator loses approximately 4 watts of power every single year.
That slow, inexorable drain forces NASA into an incredibly delicate balancing act. They have to continually shut down instruments and non-essential heaters to save power. But they can't let the spacecraft get too cold, because if the fuel lines freeze, the mission is over. The probe would go permanently silent.
And managing this balance is incredibly tedious. Because Voyager 1 is so far away, a command sent from Earth takes approximately 23 hours just to reach the spacecraft. Then you have to wait another 23 hours to confirm the command was executed.
The only two science instruments left are the magnetometer and the plasma wave subsystem. These are currently the only tools we have providing data from the interstellar medium, outside our solar system's heliosphere.
It raises a poignant question about the long-term implications for space exploration. Once these final two instruments are forced offline, we lose our only direct stream of data from interstellar space. There is no backup probe out there right now ready to take over.
Engineers are doing everything they can to extend the mission, but physics is physics. The hard floor for the spacecraft's survival is approaching. Current projections suggest the power drain will force a complete shutdown sometime in the 2030s.
Until then, it's a matter of squeezing every last drop of science out of an increasingly cold, power-starved machine. It's a bittersweet milestone for what is still the most distant human-made object in existence. For our final deep dive, we're looking at a growing pain point in the world of AI coding assistance. There's a new feature request on the Claude Code GitHub repository, highlighting an issue that power users are calling a foggy memory.
Claude Code is Anthropic's terminal-based AI tool that acts as an agent. It can read local files, execute commands, and manage your Git workflow. But like all LLMs, it relies on a finite context window. When a conversation gets too long, the system has to perform something called context compaction.
Right. Context compaction is essentially the AI summarizing its own conversation history to free up space for new inputs. The problem is that this process is lossy. Users report that the compaction often causes the agent to forget earlier instructions, project plans, or specific coding constraints.
If you're just asking a few questions, you won't notice it. But in a real power user session, where you might have thousands of orchestrated turns spread across multiple days, this degradation becomes a major issue. The assistant gradually loses track of earlier decisions and will occasionally miss an instruction entirely because it's scrolled out of the compacted window.
To solve this, users are requesting a log and refresh chat button. The idea is to provide a manual, reliable way to checkpoint the session state. It would write a durable log or summary of the current conversation before the system automatically triggers a potentially destructive compaction.
This request highlights a broader shift in how we interact with AI tooling. We are moving away from simply chatting with an assistant to actively managing an agentic workflow, and that requires explicit state and memory oversight from the user.
Currently, developers are forced to do manual handoffs. They realize the agent is getting foggy, so they write down a summary of the project state themselves, close the session, open a new one, and feed that summary back in. A native button would streamline that immensely.
But it does beg the question, is this just masking a fundamental limitation of current LLM architectures? Until models can maintain perfect recall over infinite context windows, developers are going to have to act as the memory managers for their own AI agents.
All right, let's hit a few more stories real quick before we wrap up the show.
Sounds good. I've got a mix of software updates, some interesting AI applications, and a look at how AI is impacting education.
First up, renowned mathematician Terence Tao published a really interesting blog post on July 11th about using AI coding agents to create interactive mathematical visualizations to create interactive mathematical visualizations.
It's a great read. He noted that back in 1999, he was coding applets in Java 1.0, which was incredibly time-consuming. But with modern AI agents, he recently built a visualization tool for the Gilbreth conjecture in just a few hours of conversation.
It drastically lowers the barrier for academics to generate custom, web-based tools for their research without needing deep web development expertise.
though it does raise questions about the long-term maintainability of these generated apps.
Moving to decentralized AI, there's a new project called Mesh LLM. It pools GPU and memory resources across multiple machines using the Iro peer-to-peer networking library, letting users run large language models without centralized servers.
The standout feature is a pipeline mode called Skippy. It partitions models by layer ranges across different nodes. They claim you can run massive 235 billion parameter models this way, and it exposes a simple OpenAI-compatible API at localhost.
It's a cool concept, but critics are definitely questioning the practicality. Running split models over consumer networks introduces massive latency, so your tokens per second rate is likely going to be painfully slow for most real-world use cases.
On the societal impact front, a new Forbes piece argues that AI isn't destroying academic integrity. It's just exposing an over-reliance on rote memorization and regurgitation in traditional education.
They backed this up by citing a study of nearly 373,000 college admissions essays. After ChatGPT was introduced, the language in the essays became more sophisticated, but the actual originality of the thinking declined.
The article suggests a pedagogical shift toward process-based grading and oral exams. But as many educators have pointed out, scaling oral exams for massive university classes is going to be a severe resource challenge.
Back in the Claude Code ecosystem, there's another feature request, this time for a structured DAG view. That's a directed acyclic graph for monitoring orchestrator and subagent workflows.
Right now, users only have a flat task list. But since Anthropic introduced dynamic workflows that can orchestrate up to 1,000 agents running in parallel, a flat list just doesn't provide enough visibility into task dependencies.
Users want a visual, queryable interface to monitor node status. As AI tools start behaving more like complex data engineering pipelines, they are going to need the exact same level of observability.
Finally, a solo developer has launched Ant, a new lightweight JavaScript runtime. What makes this unique is that it uses a custom-built JavaScript engine called Ant Silver, completely bypassing industry standards like V8 or SpiderMonkey.
It's impressively small. The runtime ships as a single 9-megabyte binary and claims a 5.4 millisecond cold start time. It's aimed squarely at embedded systems and CLI tools where V8 is just too heavy.
It even includes its own package registry called ants.land. It's an incredibly ambitious project, though maintaining a custom, secure JavaScript engine as a solo developer is a monumental task.
And that is going to do it for today's NoraCast Tech Briefing.
Thanks for joining us. We publish every single day, so make sure you're subscribed in your podcast app of choice.
We'll be back tomorrow with the latest updates from across the tech landscape. Catch you then.